With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
First and foremost, history lesson. The bags came out because the team wasn't listening to the family base. The bags was an attempt to demean the team because the people were telling them that they didn't like the direction of the team. They were ignoring the family base. The bags came out to demean them because it wasn't just the bags. They had signs and every damn thing coming out, riding on the team. And they do what most of them do when they go through certain points. They want to tend to ignore the support base. What doesn't bode well for you? The ain'ts and the bags came out because it was an attempt to get the organization to understand that they wasn't playing no games, that you wasn't going to come here and get all of this money and get all these resources and mislead and misdirect and misrepresent the support base. It's not going to happen. And the goddamn bags will come back out if you don't win. So stop telling the people, stop doing that, please. No, shut the hell up with that. They're doing it because the reason is, tell the damn team to represent the support base better. The bags won't come out. Don't hold a coach that's supposed to be fired. And we know the guy is supposed to be fired. Stop doing that. Tell the team to stop doing that shit. So, I mean, it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, we just got to keep it moving. And it's just weird, man. I got to give credit what credit due. I do. But the bad, don't even open up your goddamn mouth to criticize the support base and who that nation. They're not stupid. They bring the goddamn bags out because they understand. They're trying to tell the team something. The team doing what it was doing when the bags came out the first time around. They back doing it. So go discipline them before you tell them people anything. Let's keep it trucking.
Oh, Dad, you know you're capable of doing that. So you could be frustrated.
And damn, if you reach the championship level, how long has it been since the Saints won a championship, man? It's truth telling time, man. Go discipline the team and tell them get they stuff straight. Go tell Mickey Loomis to do evaluations during the season. Go tell Mickey Loomis to check himself. Go tell Dennis Lucia to do evaluations on Mickey Loomis. Go tell Dennis Lucia to take the general manager job away from Mickey Loomis because he old, and give it to Kai Harley, another upcoming general manager who has more than enough resume to do the job effectively. It's been, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been so long that I've forgot the year in which when the Saints won the Super Bowl. They've been hanging their hat on that shit for years now. They hadn't even come close to it. So in the end, don't open your mouth to say anything about the support base, because the support base do what it does. It supports the team. Even when the team don't deserve the support, it doesn't deserve it. They still support the team. And I know it because I've seen them do it. I did it. That's why I ain't doing it no more. Until they do like the song we say do, show me. Thank you. OG said 14 or 15 damn years that we seen that. That is absolutely awful and horrible. It's been that long. It's been that damn long since the Saints won the Super Bowl. 15 years ago, still hanging their hat on that. So yes, indeed, it'll be, yeah, the bag's going to come back. It's been 15 years. You ain't win no championship since then. And the type of moves the Saints are making, they making right now, does it have a championship-esque feel to it? Does it? It doesn't, fam. Here we go.
Created, but you should never have that loser mentality and put bags on your head.
No. We are far away from anybody feeling like those days are remotely close. I get
who these people talking to, man. Who y'all talking to? How y'all have radio shows and call yourselves former players? Who the fuck are y'all talking to, man? For real. Who y'all talking to? They got people out there that really feel like that, man. The Saints are not emitting a feeling of confidence. You don't blame the support base because they're not feeling confidence from you and you're not admitting it. Who are you talking to? I mean, these people are amazing, man. Amazingly out of touch. They got people out there that don't believe the Saints going to do nothing, and they within their damn right to. Like, I just hit the damn button. This is what it means. This is what they want to know. That's where they at. They on show me level. You know why? Because you haven't given them anything. They've been playing around, acting crazy for a very long time. It's what it's been. They're in show me stage right now. It's easy to go at the support base and try to ridicule them or bully them into believing into the Saints when we're not doing that, man. We're not playing them cornball games no more. We did that for years. No, you're going to do what you're supposed to do, which is you're going to make the correct moves and you're going to earn your respect again. You're going to earn it again. That's where I'm coming from. That's where world I come from, where you don't have a media apparatus that's getting paid by the team to sit up here and bully you into believing in the team. Oh, you don't like the Saints because you ain't a diehard. No, you're a dumbass if you try that. Don't let them play that bully, weak-ass peer pressure game on you. Don't let them do that. You make these people prove themselves, fam. Make them prove it. Make them earn it. Make them earn it. That's how the real world works. Business people in the business, and these propagandists want you to believe it. But it works one way for them and not for you. With anything in life, you have to earn. You got to earn it. Unless you out there going to take it the wrong way, you're going to lose it. You got to earn it. Thank you, Shrine. Appreciate you, fam. Appreciate you for the super chat, man. It is ridiculous, man. It's absolutely ridiculous. That's fine. Like I said, man, I'm going to give a shout out to the mighty entire, the Who Dat Nation, the Great Saint Think Tank, the entire Who Dat Nation, the entire Who Dat community. My boys, Randolph and Hoodie and Teal with the Nola Bros and all the family members, Derek and Strike 7, all everybody, man. Because, you know, for all those brothers and sisters that got shows covering the community, that's keeping it real and keeping the message honest for the Who Dat Nation. Thank you guys. Appreciate you guys. Because this is a constant thing, man. Just counteracting the propaganda these people coming with, bro. You know? But back in the day, there was none of this. There was none of this. You had to take what they say and then call up there and try to check them and they just cut you off or not let you on. It's a new day and time with narratives. You can't control the narratives no more. And they can't stand that, brothers and sisters. I tell you that straight up. Let's finish this up. Where do these people come from with
this? It's a frustration. I think, you know, when you look at, obviously, the success we had, and then those years from 2016, 2017 through 2020, probably could have won a Super Bowl or two in between there.
Right.
The fans' expectations when you win 9 games and you miss out on the playoffs, everybody wants to always blow everything up. And there will be change. That's just the way it is. In the NFL, there's going to be different coaches. There's going to be different players. But here's the one thing, and I try to tell Saints fans this all the time. The Saints organization is one of the most functional organizations in pro football. It is no longer one of those dysfunctional organizations that free agents don't want to go to, that college kids hate getting coaches in through 2020. Probably could have won a Super Bowl or two in between there.
Right.
The fans' expectations when you win 9 games and you miss out on the playoffs, everybody wants to always blow everything up. And there will be change. That's just the way it is.
Ain't nobody talking about blowing nothing up at no 9 games. Nobody's saying that. Well, just blow it on up. I'm not saying that. Nobody's saying that. You got an older team. We know the team built on older players. There's not nobody saying blow the team up after 9 wins. They're saying get rid of the coaches, what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Always running around. They're not saying blow the team up. They just want a competent coach that makes the calls when they're supposed to and not let the offense fail the whole year without going over there changing up nothing. Can't dispute that shit, huh? Why we can't hear any of that? Why is that never the narrative to hear why the Saints offense failed. Well, because you called Michael Q. That would be, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, that was Pete Carmichael stanking it up over there. No, it wasn't just Pete Carmichael stanking it up, man. That wasn't what all that happened. Dennis Allen picked Pete Carmichael to be his offensive coordinator. He let him twist and burn on the stake. He didn't go over there and correct anything, despite the fact that Who Dat Nation kept saying, hey, bro, you need to change this around. You need to do this. You need to do that. He did nothing. He did nothing. He just stayed doing what he did. He kept making excuses. He did nothing to change the offense around. He didn't demote Pete Carmichael and put Ronald Curry in as the play caller. He didn't demote Marone at the offensive line coach because the offensive line was stinking for most of the year and put Jahri Evans in control. He had all of that power, said he was going to change, didn't change anything. And then at the end of the year, when everything fell apart, then they come back around and say, hey, I'm pissed. And we were one game away. No, we don't work like that, player. We're not going to let you spin narratives like we're not going to be able to break down a week. These are weak narratives, too. They don't have any strength to these narratives that they're talking about. Nothing that they're talking about has any true strength. It's all spent in protection and in complement of team narrative. It's the excuse matrix that they come up with every year. It's an excuse matrix of why the Saints fail. You see, you know, they're the Saints, the most competent team out there, dude. They're not the hardest, most competent team out there. And people want to come to the Saints. Saints can't afford nobody. That was a bad signing of Derek Carr, $150 million contract. They couldn't afford that. You know? They couldn't do that. They couldn't afford that. And they were late to the party making adjustments and changes during the season when you can't do that. Then you couple that with the fact that you got a 20-something year, a 30, however long Mickey Loomis being here, sitting up there telling you he's not doing in-season evaluations because he's too emotional. How's that play? Why aren't you talking about that shit? All is the excuse matrix, man. That's what they are. They spend the excuse matrix, man.
In the NFL, there's going to be different coaches, there's going to be different players. But here's the one thing, and I try to tell Saints fans this all the time. The Saints organization is one of the most functional organizations in pro football. It is no longer one of those dysfunctional organizations that free agents don't want to go to, that college kids hate getting drafted to. It is one of those places that when they show up and they go in the locker room, like, man, this is a family environment. I love it here. And that's, you know, I take pride in that because that wasn't the way it was before 2006. So I think there's a lot of pride that Saints fans should have, even though the wins haven't been adding up, the playoff wins haven't been there, we haven't been back to a Super Bowl, but you have a functional organization, and there are not many of those in the NFL. So you have to have hope just based on that alone.
How is it functional, Shanley? How is it functional when the Saints missing the playoffs for three straight years? How is it functional? Functional how? Define functionality to you. Define functionality, bro. The team hasn't been in the playoffs for 3 years, and it's because of self-inflicted issues. You got draft picks and players running to get to the Saints? Not so much. I ask Marshawn Lattimore that. He's rushing to get the hell out of here. It's people in here. It's a fractured team, and people know it. Players talk to each other. They know. No top five cornerback that was born up in here that's a dedicated, diehard person like Marshawn Lattimore will be requesting a trade to get out of here because he don't feel confident in the leadership of the team. But do they talk about that? They don't talk about that either. They just lie about it. Mickey Loomis and Dennis Allen said when asked about it during the press, and shout out to those press reporters that covered it, like Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett and Cat Terrell, they said that they talked about fractures in the locker room. They even talked to a few of the people, and they couldn't divulge and put the information out there, but they did admit to it being fractures in the locker room. They talked about that. Well, guess what ended up happening? What ultimately ended up happening is Loomis and Dennis Allen came out and said, there are no fractures in the locker room, and these things just don't exist. There are no fractures in the locker room. Well, in Mickey's cadence, there are no fractures. Well, that's just, you guys are just making that up. That's just something somebody made up. That's some old made up gobbledygook. That doesn't exist. That's up there with the Sasquatch monster and aliens and Bigfoot.
you guys are in the fairy tales, you know. You know, that's something like Disney would make up. It's not, it doesn't exist.
And then, yeah, Marshall Adams sitting up here mad at, you know, not believing in the coach. And they set up his contract late last year to get him traded. It's just, why are we not talking about that, Shanley?
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Because these people are programmed and paid to spin narratives one way, and that's what we're here for, to keep it real and tell the truth. The team has issues, and until we face down the issues and tell the truth, the team won't get well. Lying and doing misdirection and covering up for the team imposed or what they're doing, their mistakes, and without fixing their mistakes, won't end well for anybody. And for people trying to stand in front of the team to protect them makes them look disingenuous, and they lose credibility for doing that. And we see what the fuck you doing, just to call you out. Shout out to the fam, man. Appreciate you. I apologize for that. This is fairy tales. This is gobbledygook. This is terrible. I just despise it because it's an insult to your intelligence. The great Saint Think Tank don't play these games. They don't play. Thank you, Rich. You said who thinks DA is a Super Bowl coach? Mic drop. I don't. Thank you for the super chat, bro. Here we go.
Scott, one of the things we see so differently today in the NFL is, man, I remember first scouting, and the linebacker Bills that you were looking at, they all look to me like what would be playing defensive ends today. Now I look at the linebackers, and most of them today, they look like bigger, strong safeties playing linebacker. And how the game has changed, and now the base defense is not with the three linebackers anymore. There's a lot of this kind of mixing and matching in the big nickel player, and like what Chauncey Garner Johnson played with the Saints, and having an extra safety or an extra corner out on the field. For guys playing that linebacker position, that has changed probably more than any other spot on the football field today, the look of the linebackers today and how they're used.
Yeah, there's no question. You have to be able to play all three downs. You have to be a guy who some linebackers can blitz, some guys can cover, but you have to find a way, because really the league has become a 4-2-5. It's really a nickel base defense anymore. You know, back when I played, especially early on in my career, it was a 4-3 defense. It was a 3-4. You were running those base personnel. Now heck, the Sam linebacker is almost like the fullback or tight end on offense. He plays sparingly based on what the offense is doing. In some offenses, you look at like San Francisco, they have a big advantage because they put a fullback on the field. Now the Sam linebacker has to play more than he's played all year. So it is, you're right. That position has changed a lot. And when I was working with guys, getting them ready for the combine, it was always, we worked on fundamentals as far as covering running backs, covering tight ends, playing in space. Because if you can't play in space against some of these amazing athletes like the Kamaras of the world and the tight ends you have to cover, it will be not for long. You don't get to play special teams very long in the NFL anymore because they're changing special teams. You have to be able to play a position when you talk about only 50 plus roster spots and then 46 on game day. You're not dressing many people. So you have to be able to run at that position and stay on the field.
Call from mom. Answer it.
All right.
Call silent.
Missing a minute. Somehow get into the run on your
end. Okay. A few words you salt. Giants, I don't know, Commanders, Raiders. You got to beat those kind of teams. But I'm looking at the Saints close the season 4-2, and Derek Carr was playing his best football. Now, you got to transfer that now to September, the beginning of the year. Do you know he completed 74.5% of his passes in that stretch in six games? That was number one in the NFL. Okay? Yep. And if you look at it, he had 15 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Well, hell yeah. If he does that, that's going to give us a chance, even though you play in the likes of at the 49ers. That's the preseason game.
Right.
When you're playing like the Eagles at home or at Kansas City or just go throughout like the Panthers. Yeah. He didn't have to have an unbelievable game. But even at Dallas, the Eagles at home, then you got the Falcons or whatever, that's and the Chiefs. So just looking, I think this is the season, and you look at Derek Carr and where you at as a quarterback in your career, that how you finished the season, the last six games, man, that's amongst the best in the whole league. Well, that's what we need come this September from Derek Carr.
Yeah, there's no question. And you said – some of the fan base is 50-50. I don't even know if it's that high, and I think it should be. It should be more because I was just going to rattle off the stats you did. Derek really finished the season great. Now, my thing with Derek is I was excited about the acquisition. I thought he was kind of the missing piece of the puzzle. I thought we'd win the AFC South. He was banged up, didn't play well. I was a little down on some of the leadership things, maybe some of the things he said after the games as far as taking the responsibility and not. And then he finished the season extremely strong and looked really good and looked like the Derek Carr that everybody kind of thought we were getting. Now, the only thing I ask of the fans is, if you're going to criticize, you got to give him credit. And I don't feel like people gave him enough credit at the end of the year for the way he played because there was tons of criticism. I still listen to it now. We draft a guy in the fifth round, and everybody wants him to be the starter. I'm like, listen, there's a reason.
You've heard it.
Yes. I mean, it is so strong that I'm like, okay, maybe if Spence Rattler becomes a starting quarterback for the Saints someday, heck yeah, that's a dynamite pick. It's not going to happen year one. People need to pump their brakes a little bit because Derek Carr is a really good quarterback. Spencer Rattler's got a long ways to go in terms of becoming a starter in the NFL. But can he do it? I don't know. Time will tell. But I think fans need to realize we have one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. Is he Drew Brees? No. Not many guys are going to be Drew Brees. But he is a good enough quarterback to win the NFC South, get in the playoffs. And with this defense, heck, DeMario, Father Time keeps trying to knock at DeMario's door. He doesn't let it happen. He keeps playing this way. And you look at all the defensive backs we have. If we can get the things right in the offensive line and defensive line and control line of scrimmage, this team can win the NFC South.
Well, and
Scott. These
people, unbelievable. Give them credit. This dude, what does this guy do? Does he work for the Saints? Does this guy work for the Saints? Does he work for the Saints? What does this Chanelet dude do? Is he in there mopping the floor for the Saints? What does he do for the Saints? What does he do? What is he doing? Is he got to be some kind of way attached to the Saints? First and foremost, Derek Carr was benefited by a strong running game toward the back. It's people just unbelievably, they can't be that ignorant, that corrupt, or foolish. They spinning these narratives to create a certain look, to try to make somebody look better than when they actually have. It wasn't just him out there all of a sudden figuring out how the system worked. The Saints played better as a collective toward the back end. They started to actually run the football. He benefited by a stronger running attack, stronger offensive line play. He started to work the play action toward the back end of the year. What are these people talking about, man? Do they even watch these games? They're going to pull out, well, he was the best quarterback in six games. And how, why we still didn't get the playoff then, Abel? Man, these people just sit up there and just spin these protective narratives for the Saints. They just sit up there and kiss Saints' ass all damn day. Weak-ass criticism, but at the same time, give Derek Carr credit. Derek Carr played better because the offensive line, the team offensively played better. The Saints ran the football better. He got into the play action, and it helped him because the Saints wasn't utilizing, they weren't running the ball effectively, and they were misplacing trust in Derek Carr early in the season when he did not know the full offensive play. He didn't know the offensive skill. He didn't know the sets totally where he can run them competently. And you know this because you can go back in your recollection and remember at least 4 to 5 times a game, Derek Carr and his wide receivers would not be on the same page. He would throw the ball on the out. The guy was cutting in. He would put the ball on the out route. The guy would turn, would stop on the comeback route. All this kind of other stuff was going on, and he was in constant conversation on the field telling his wide receivers where they were supposed to go and where they went. It was constant going on between wide receivers, tight ends, and Derek Carr missing each other at least 4 to 5 times a game. They wasn't on the same page. And this happened for the first several months of the season, well into like 8 months of the season, where the Saints would have the same stuff, where they wasn't on the same page. Toward the back end of the year, and we know Derek Carr got hurt during that period of time. And my thing is, he shouldn't have played. They had him pumped up on painkillers. His eyes was bucking and he was out of his mind. That boy didn't even know what planet he was on out there, toe up. They're talking about he got healthier toward the back end of the year. He didn't get healthier toward the back end of the year. When the year was over with, he said that he couldn't do anything for 2 months after the season was over with. He couldn't do anything for 2 months. That's what he said in the interview with Tom's Picayune. We covered it on the show. And they asked him, how could he have done what he done during the season? He said it was the miracle of chemistry or something like that, which means they was pumping him up for painkillers, shooting him up with the dope to make him not feel any pain. It was shooting the man up, which is totally unhealthy and unwise to do Derek Carter. I was actually pissed with the Saints for doing him that. So it's not like, because you're trying to create something. They're trying to justify the $150 million and forcing them. Derek Carr was hurt badly last year. He shouldn't have played. And pumping him up with dope for the entire season, and then after the year over with, 2 months after the season ended, he said he couldn't do anything because he had to heal from the injuries that he sustained. During the offseason, he wasn't getting the good dope. They break out the needles and all that shit during the season, and you can see he wasn't right. His eyes was bucking. Remember that? His eyes was bucking out, and I was looking. I was like, man, this dude shot up on painkillers. He probably don't even know what fucking planet he's on, man. It's just amazing, man. But you don't hear none of that. That's why it's a difference, fam. It's an obvious difference. Please hear the difference between bullshit and fact. And I had to hit Glenn on him because he started going off on some bullshit. And I'm like, dude, did you get elected to be these people reps? You're supposed to be telling the people the truth. You're not supposed to sit up here and spin narratives for them because they gave you a paycheck. You're supposed to be the people who are actually paying you to play was the supporters. The Saints get the money from you, from the supporters, to pay you. That's where they get it from. They're not printing it in there. I hope they're not printing it in the building, in the price. But they get it from the supporters to give it to you. Your first loyalty should be to telling the people the truth. And that Derek Carr didn't do all that stuff by himself. He played better. Yes, he did. But it was in league with everything else the Saints was doing. The running attack and everything else, the offensive line, all of that played better. And that is the truth. That is the truth. So I can't go on. I'm going to just stop it right there, man. I don't, the BS is ridiculous. Okay, Hakeem. What's up, Hakeem? How you doing, my brother? He says, Chanelet formerly. Yeah, he works for this. Okay, there you go. I was like, yeah, that sounds just like a kiss ass, a butt kisser. You know, they must the most functioning Saints are the most functioning or one of the most functioning organizations in the league. And what you mean by benefiting because they're making money? How functioning are they, a football team that got a stacked team every year and they can't get to the playoffs? Oh, that's real functioning. What's your definition of functionality, man? Get the hell out of here with that bull, man. I be losing these disrespect. Tell the truth, man. Tell the truth and shame the devil. It's too much lying and misdirection and bullshit going on right now anyway. Stop lying and tell the people the truth about what's going on with these people. Stop trying to protect these people and they dead wrong with what they're doing. Tell them to hire better coaches. Get an actual leader as a head coach and stop running the good old boys circle over there. Actually bring more basketball brains into the organization at the executive level. Reorganize the organizations, which is the Saints and the Pelicans. Take Dennis Lucia and turn him into a chief operation officer because he's the top businessman. He handles the business affairs. He don't know nothing about no football. And bring in football people, at least two people up at the top to be along with Mickey Loomis, and take the general manager job away from him and give it to Kai Hartley. Bring more people into the team at the highest level that can have an organizational meeting so it don't be a football cult going on, because that's what's going on. I was on Pelican Post Game Report the other night, and I called the Pelicans a basketball cult because you got a bunch of people running around. David Griffin running around talking about, we got good humans. They're good human beings, and then they're getting their teeth stumped in the playoffs by OKC. We don't want choir boys, and we want people that's good people at the same time. They got some meanness and some toughness to them. Those are called warriors, by the way. We don't need a bunch of choir boys. We don't need people that's in a constant agreement with each other about the direction of the team. Yeah, y'all making money because you have an extremely patient support base.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.